believe in miracles.
Don't say people. I'm doing business here, man.
I don't want anybody tells you words and ideas can change the world.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. 90%
of what you're saying ain't coming out of your mouth.
From failing, you learn. From success, not so much.
Keep moving forward.
Welcome to the Small Business Miracles Podcast. I'm Jeff Randolph. This small business podcast is brought to you by EAG Advertising and Marketing. Yes, we are going to talk about marketing, but we're also here to help celebrate entrepreneurs and help bring tips to move your business forward. We give advice, we have lots of tips, and each week we're going to introduce you to another small business hero to hear their story and grab some inspiration and advice along the way. Let's go.
Back again with Ashley Tebbe, Senior Art Director at EAG Advertising and Marketing. Ashley, hey, what's happening?
Hi.
You good today?
Good? Very good.
Good, good, good. I thought we'd continue our conversation. People love to hear us talk about user experience and user interface and all kinds of great user experience things. So let's do that. Let's keep talking about it. What are some of those issues that we're talking about when we're talking about an interface and how people interact with it? What issues are we really looking for?
With pre-existing websites, I'll preface that first. Yeah. Some of the most common problems I find within a website is, first, we look at information architecture, and that is how the information is organized on your website or digital product. So when we're thinking information architecture, we're thinking, is this organized in a way that people are going to easily be able to find what they need to find within each navigation or within the information on a page? Does the information flow? You remember back in second grade or fourth grade, I don't know what grade.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. Yeah, yeah. But when they start talking about how to tell a story, you know, you have your introduction, you have your plot, you have your climax, and then you have your ending, like the end.
The denouement.
Yeah. It's that's almost how we look at the information organized on a website. Mm-hmm. Does this all tell a story? Mm. And that's what the first part of information architecture is. The other things I look at when I look at it from a user interface perspective, I look at it for accessibility standards. Accessibility standards are really important. We want to make sure that you're not leaving any important person off of your demographic because they have a visual impairment or some kind of issue with being able to take in your website, period. So are your colors adhering to accessibility standards? Do they follow a colorblind test? Can someone see the CTA if you have a red button on a green background?
Yes, and CTA, the call to action.
Yes. Yeah,
it would be important to be able to read what the call to action button is and not have it be a red on green button.
Right.
That's important. Good call. Good call.
Yes. Can they read that? There's also new information out there about different fonts for different age groups. Mm-hmm. Some age groups appreciate a font with serifs, that's the little like endings on the fonts, thinks Times New Roman versus Arial. Arial is a sans serif font. Different demographics there. Another thing to think about is, how else can we follow these accessibility standards? Can people easily read information? Are you giving it enough breathing room and margins? A lot of our clients think, I don't want people to scroll. Well, embracing the scroll sometimes is a good thing as long as the information is laid out so it's easier to read.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, at the same time, we used to have all desktop-based websites so that we would go to work and there was a computer or a laptop. And as phones became a thing, now, you know, that the romantic notion of keeping everything on one screen, I mean, good luck with that. You've got three words, and that's all you're going to get on a cellular device. So, yeah, we have to design for both mobile and desktop and have the experience be good.
Yep, exactly.
So do you take people's word for it, or are there helpful software tools that we might use to be able to watch people browse through this? He said, setting her up to talk about Lucky Orange.
Yeah, I've looked at several Lucky Orange heat maps. Mm-hmm. Our lovely digital product manager, Wynn, has sent some over. And they're a really great tool to figure out how people are interacting with different buttons and seeing where they land on the page and making sure that they're able to digest the page and not bouncing.
Literally watching someone browse the website, like an actual live user. You're watching where they scroll, where they try to click. If there's not a link that is clickable where they're clicking, you go, they must expect additional information right here, or they want to have that take them to a different page and it doesn't link to a different page. We should think about that. So, okay, I see that. That's a helpful tool.
Yes. Very literal, helpful tool for figuring out how people interact with the page. So
good
yes.
stuff. And you mentioned accessibility standards as something that, if we're putting work into it, it's going to cost some kind of money, right? Because we charge by the hour. That's how we do things. But there is some help that's available. I know there are some programs that if you qualify for it, if your business qualifies for it, and you are making accessibility improvements, then you can get some cash back on that. So we have some information available if you want to take that. We probably should recommend that everybody take advantage of that if they qualify, right?
Yeah, you don't want to leave money on the table if you're leaving people from engaging with your website as well.
And it would be great for you to look at several more websites and give them the whole rundown. So we're looking forward to that. All right, Ashley, thank you for being with us. As always, thank you, Jeff. Welcome back. Happy to be here with my featured guest today. It's Danica Cherry with Samuel Rogers Health Center. Danica, first, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Let's dive right in and find out about Samuel Rogers. Tell me first about the whole organization, and then we'll get into you and your background.
Okay. Samuel U. Rogers, we've been around for over 50 years here in Kansas City. Our founder was Dr. Samuel U. Rogers. He started the health center. He always had a vision that healthcare is a human right. Mm-hmm. He was always very progressive in that. Now that health equity has kind of had a spotlight over the last couple of years, we're finding that Dr. Rogers was very progressive. He's always thought of healthcare as that should be what everyone should have.
This is a right that humans should have.
Yes, healthy people in a healthy community is his vision. He is no longer with us. But he did found our health center in 1968, mm-hmm. and we are just every day we strive to carry out his mission.
And in Kansas City, where are you located?
Our main campus is at 825 Euclid in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. We do have another clinic in the West Side as well, off of Summit Street, and then we have two clinics. We have one in the Clay County Health Department in Liberty, and then we have another one up north off of North Oak.
Gotcha. And the type of population you serve and mm-hmm. There's a category for that as a hospital, right? You're doing insurance and no insurance. Tell me a little bit about that.
Over 80% of our patients are either uninsured or on Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And then 56% of our patients speak a language other than English.
Oh, yes.
So we are able to help people who normally don't feel they belong in the community, we make sure that we are a trusted healthcare home for them.
Got it. And then everything that you're doing going out, is it also English, Spanish, or other? Or how do you handle the language stuff? Do you need to do twice as much work for everything?
Yeah. We have on-site interpreters. Mm-hmm. We actually are also we take in immigrants and refugees as well. So it's not just Spanish. It's Somali, Pashto. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to pronounce them correctly.
That's right.
Karen, other languages that and we have in-person interpreters for those languages, mm-hmm. which is amazing. So we are really proud to be able to help.
That is a tremendous benefit. Well, tell me about you and your path to get here and what your role then is now.
Yeah. I actually worked at the American Cancer Society previous to this role. I'm the grants manager at Sam Rogers. During the pandemic, I did work at, like I said, the American Cancer Society for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, things changed during a pandemic. Yes. And it probably took a pandemic for me to leave, but here I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so excited to be here to be able to help. Before, my focus was cancer. And then now I'm at Sam Rogers, and it's great. And I can still, I actually still am involved with the American Cancer Society with Sam Rogers because they fund us for cancer screenings.
Oh, so delightful.
Yeah.
How it all gets connected.
I know.
No matter where you
it's
go.
It's like I never left almost.
It's something like that. You're fundraising for healthcare. Happens across the metro, across the country, and it's there's no end of need, whether you're talking about American Cancer Society or the hospital itself. When you're going out and talking to people, how do you set yourself apart? How do you set Sam Rogers apart from the rest of the crowd?
I think it would be our emphasis on taking in the immigrants and refugees, as well as being able to welcome anyone in, making them feel trusted and making them feel like they belong. Our employees, we intentionally hire employees that look like our patients. Mm-hmm. It's very important to us. When I just started in 2021, everybody who starts at Sam Rogers, in their employee training, they take a cultural competency training.
Okay.
So that, I mean, that just tells you right there how much we care and how much we want our patients to make sure they're well taken care of. Every staff, I'm not a clinician, mm-hmm. but I still took the training so that I know how to be cognizant of people's different cultures.
Let's talk a little bit about the process, because the process of you know, getting someone to buy a product or service that you're selling is, you know, one thing, right? You're getting something for it. The thing you're getting when someone is you know, making a donation is the feel goods. Mm-hmm. They're going to feel great about it. They're helping. They're making a difference. Walk us through the process of how do you go about, like, start to finish prospecting someone who would be a good candidate and what needs to go into it. Because my assumption here is that the best practice is you don't just meet someone for the first time and say, I'd like you to give $1 million to Sam Rogers.
Mm-hmm. It's relationship building. Mm-hmm. One thing that I enjoy most about my job is the relationship building. I started as a fund development manager, and I was able to go out in the community and do networking and really just start building relationships. Before I came in, you know, individual donors are really hard to try to get in our health center, mm-hmm. Just because of who we serve. And so my goal was to try to get a better individual and corporate donor base. But yes, you can't just sit down with someone and say, give me $50,000 because we're awesome.
Yeah. Even though you're awesome, it still won't work.
So it is. It's relationship building, and I really enjoy it. And I love getting involved in what other people do as well. I'm just the kind of person who wants to be involved in everything.
Yeah.
It kind of gets me in trouble sometimes. But yes, definitely the relationship building. And I like for them to see what they're putting their money towards as well. Anyone's always welcome to come in and take mm-hmm. a tour. And it's really cool to come into Sam Rogers because you get immersed in the culture right when you walk in the door with people's garments and just the diversity that you see walk through the doors. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's really cool.
That's super neat.
Yeah.
That process of talking through and getting somebody from first relationship into the doors, and so they can see everything, and then eventually making that ask. Do you, when you're making that final ask, do you know what's your level of confidence in knowing that that answer is a yes before you walk in the door?
I don't.
You still don't know. Take nothing for granted.
I mean, sometimes you get a little hint.
Okay. Like, I want to write you a check.
Yeah. Or you know, you look at past, you can kind of do your research and see what the donor has done before. Mm-hmm. And You can get some intel sometimes, but otherwise, if it's just a cold call, you've built this relationship and you're the one who's done all the work, it's hard to know, right? You know, so
it's time to make the ask, and there is still there. So butterflies in the stomach when that happens. Is this the exciting part or is this the terrifying part?
It's exciting, and you know what? You know what I've learned? No is not right now.
Ah, yes.
Yep. Okay. No is not right now. I have been turned down, and yet. Still, you just have to keep the relationship going. Mm-hmm. I don't say, well, bye.
That's it. Well, I tried. There was one time I tried.
Yeah. So, and I love a good challenge. So if someone says no, I will definitely keep trying and going back unless they tell me not to, and then I won't.
And then be polite. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Let me transition now to the lightning round.
Oh.
I know it's very exciting. Lightning round. Here are the rules of the lightning round. There are no rule. No, that's not me. The rules of the lightning round: answer in a short answer, sound bite, one word, whatever it takes, whatever's comfortable. But okay. We're looking for faster kind of answers.
Okay.
But we will dive into them if there's something exciting there. We're definitely going to ask a follow up question. No wrong answers because they're just your answers.
Okay.
That's it. So if you're ready, the first lightning round question is: what's your favorite social media platform?
Mm.
Where do you spend your time?
Instagram. And stories. Instagram stories.
Oh, you're defining them separately even. It's because you really love watching through the story rolls.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All the reels. If we looked at your Instagram right now, what would we see?
What was the last thing I posted? Oh, I was mad about the Taylor Swift.
Oh, yes.
Debacle queue. People were complaining about it, and I didn't even get a chance. Mm-hmm. I was on the wait list, so sheesh.
Yeah, for those people who are listening in the year 2084, Taylor Swift was a musical art. No, ticketing problems abound, and so you were caught up in all of that.
Not really.
Yeah, I'd really like to go, but I can't.
Yeah, I didn't have to sit at my computer for 9 hours. So
that's true.
Thanks, she got me out of that.
Yeah, no kidding. Next lightning round question: What businesses or brands, what brand inspires you?
Inspires me?
Inspires. Really gets you, really makes you either feel good or gets you excited, or you just hang on their every word, or.
Oh man, I don't know.
Don't even know. Man, this is where the lightning round is really at its best. And we're trying to figure that out.
Sorry, it's not lightning fast response. Of course, like Hallmark comes to mind,
but
that's not true. They just have such good marketing that that's what I want to say.
They do.
But I don't watch Hallmark movies. I don't buy cards.
That is maybe not the answer they would want to hear.
Well,
they would like you to go into a Hallmark Gold Crown store and buy a card every once in a while.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Send it to a loved one. But
cut that out.
Yeah, that's all right. But you don't know no Hallmark Christmas movies? I mean,
no.
All of the feels just showing up there. Is there, let me, we'll ask a different lightning round question then.
Okay.
Who, from a fundraising standpoint, just across the globe, is doing it right?
I mean, there's Mackenzie Scott. She's the opposite of what I do. She gives it away, but it's really great that what she's doing.
Say a little more for people who don't.
Mackenzie Scott is the ex of the founder of Amazon. She has more money than we could imagine.
She did pretty well.
Yeah. And she just gives it away.
It's good work if you can get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know of people in Kansas City who have gotten it. And so I got to have conversations. Everyone who says they got a Mackenzie Scott donation is getting a lot of phone calls. Like, have your Rolodex?
That's right. Could I please? Any introduction? Let's say that you brought in a great big gift or you've achieved a personal milestone of some kind. How do you celebrate that success? What is it that you do to, celebrate a big win?
I always yell in my office. Ooh. I do a big woohoo all by myself. And usually people would be like, what happened?
Yep.
But other than that, no, I like to share it. It's not a one-woman show. It always takes a team for me and Sam Rogers to get a win, a big gift. So it's not just me.
No, it is the
so sure. So I do. I like to share the news and yeah.
All right. And next lightning round question is really, you've kind of addressed it already. How do you handle a no?
Yeah.
Is it what you've mentioned already that you, it's just a not right now.
Mm-hmm.
Did it take a while to get there, or was that just kind of a natural thing where you're like, you know, a no's just kind of roll off of you at this point?
Yeah. No, it's something that has somewhat like a mentor has taught me. And so that's, and I'm like, yes, that's a good way to look at it.
That is, if you can hold on to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
My fear is that I am not able to get there. The no is just a no. And,
yeah.
And I feel terrible, and it's a value judgment about me and terrible things like that.
Well, yeah, no, it still doesn't feel good when you get
a no.
So that
doesn't go away. Okay.
No. Yeah, I'm not like woohoo. I don't do woohoos in my office. Yeah, okay. When I get a no, but I keep trying, and yeah, it's a not right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's close it out with this lightning round question, and that is, what kind of campaign do you have going on right now?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked.
I know, what a setup.
Samuel Rogers is campaigning right now to build a children's wing, a wing completely dedicated to pediatric care. It'll be 40 exam rooms. It's going to be a beautiful space. We really want to be known, like if your kiddo is sick, or even prenatal moms, postnatal or postpartum mothers, we want them to think of us. I mean, there is Children's Mercy. That's a great organization. But again, we have those special...
Right. Your demographic profile, yes. Your economic profile, your right. All kinds of things.
It all comes around to us being a trusted... We want them to feel like they belong and they're comfortable there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they would at Children's Mercy as well. But we just want them, we want to be top of mind for families in the Northeast and, you know, in these, underserved areas where they know they can count on us for their care. So adding the 40 exam rooms will also free up space in our other clinics for other different, programs such as adult senior health, behavioral health, dentistry. I'm forgetting one. Oh, we have mammography mm-hmm. as well. We have a beautiful 3D mammography machine, mm-hmm. Which is so great that we can help people in this area have a 3D mammography mm-hmm. Or a mammogram. It's pretty cool.
Excellent. What big goals for the, yeah. for the pediatric wing?
Yes.
Good luck with that.
Thanks. We're about halfway there.
Halfway.
We need more. We need more for it. Hint, hint. I'm winking over here.
I think everybody can know exactly what to do at this moment. Get to Sam Rogers online and make some connections.
Yeah.
Let's make
yeah.
this happen. All right, Danica Cherry with Sam Rogers Health Center. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. It was fun.
We have made it to the time where we wrap it all up, and I say thank you to our guest, Danica Cherry. Thanks for being here. Remember to subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and review, drop us a line on the website at eagadv.com if you've got something to share. Until then, we'll be out here helping entrepreneurs with another small business miracle.